Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By me, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Empty net, though. Dallas comes up. Johnston, the center, throws to the left. It's an empty net for Hansey. Score! After all of that, the Sharks came so close to tying it up, but the puck just couldn't go in. And Roope Hintz back the other way, puts it into the empty cage. And now we've got another injured Sharks player on the ice. And that's Jake Walman over here. He's getting up awfully slowly. And now making his way under his own power as Mackenzie Blackwood came over to check him out. But Roope Hintz gets his second point of the night. This is a goal into the empty net, making it 4-2 Dallas at 18:33 of the third period.
Yeah, we've talked about that, right? We're not going to quit. We'll never give up. We had a decent push there in the third, 6-on-5. Had some opportunities there. But again, we shoot ourselves in the foot and goals that we give up that are completely preventable. And until we learn how to play the National Hockey League against really good second period teams, which are most teams know how to transition in the second period, we're going to be fighting this uphill battle in games, and we have to learn how to manage pucks to the neutral zone, how to line change, how to do, you know, just play with smarter, more detail in our game, and just be smarter throughout our shifts.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a stormy Thursday morning here in the Bay Area. I hope that your power is on and that you are staying dry. The San Jose Sharks last night did not in any way, shape, or form play their best game or anything close to it. And I think that's my first important takeaway, because even though that was the case, they were still in that game relatively late. It's a 3-2 final plus two empty netters. And San Jose is not one of the best teams in the NHL, nor are they expected to make a deep run in the Stanley Cup final and potentially win it all. The Dallas Stars, on the other hand, are one of the best teams in the NHL and are expected to make a deep run and I think have the potential to win it all. And for San Jose, as they keep themselves in these games, are showing the growth day after day necessary to compete in the NHL, and are also showing just what it takes in the NHL to compete night in, night out. Because previously, and we look at the last couple years, the Sharks did not have what it takes to compete night in, night out. And that's not an indictment of those previous teams for various reasons. If I want to get down to the difference between this year's teams and earlier teams, this year's team had better talent. This year team had more ability to compete into these games, and I don't want to ever, you know, try and come down on the guys who were here for previous seasons. I think you just talk about talent, and there's a clear, you know, improvement in talent on the roster this year. We can make greater arguments about coaching, but, you know, I want to talk about the players specifically. But in being in games now, they're giving themselves a chance. They're giving themselves a belief. They do not always have to play perfectly, which is helpful, but they need to give themselves an opportunity to win games more than they're doing in a game like last night. Because with Dallas, while the Sharks do not have to be necessarily perfect, they've got to be close to it. And one of the things that they need to be working on is game management. And after the Sharks had what was a pretty poor first period, in which they went to the box three times, in which they were being outshot, in which they were pinned in their own end, somehow they were only down 1-0. And then a later period shorthanded goal from Mikael Granlund as the Sharks were on the kill got them back into the board completely against the run of play. Dallas's goal, you could feel that coming. The San Jose Sharks goal was relatively opportunistic. They took advantage of what was in front of them and were able to get themselves back into the game. But we have to look at this a couple of ways. You're going against a Dallas team that is looking to quote-unquote get right, because while their record was nothing problematic, I'm sure for them, it was something they wanted to improve upon, and they were coming off a loss. But for San Jose, they needed to be ready for what Dallas was going to bring in the second period. I think we could all see that. Dallas was not fortunate to only be up 1-0 at one point in that first period. They could have been up a lot more, probably should have been up a lot more, were it not for some impressive saves from Mackenzie Blackwood. And it was deceptive that it was a 1-1 game when the first period came to a close. And so I knew it, you knew it, they all knew it. The Sharks were going to be in for a rough second period because Dallas was going to put the pedal to the metal, and that is exactly what Dallas did. They came out with a surge. They scored a goal 54, 56 seconds into the second period. It's given up a goal in the first minute of the period, a cardinal sin in hockey, and suddenly you're staring at a deficit, and the ice starts to be tilted in favor of that Dallas squad. And when that happens, when you do feel that ice tilting, a team like Dallas has the ability to make it feel even more tilted, and San Jose was simply not able to keep up over the course of that second period, with what Dallas was bringing. Dallas was just going to come, they were going to play hard, they were going to play heavy, they were going to push San Jose around, and they were able to score a second goal, and it's 3-1, and San Jose had not been able to match what Dallas was bringing. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because in previous seasons, San Jose would have been down by a lot more. They would have, A, never had that shorthanded goal in the first place, which kept them alive in the first period, and B, I'm of the belief that the second period probably would have gotten a little bit worse, that it would have gotten a little bit more out of hand. It might have been 4-1, 5-1, something to that extent, to where San Jose would not have had a great a chance as getting back into it. Now, this is where you got to give credit to San Jose, because on the other side, they did play a better third period. Now, it wasn't, great by any means, because their shot totals over each of the three periods were 9 in the first, 6 in the second, 6 in the third. It needed to be better than that. But San Jose gave themselves a chance. They did not let Dallas put on any more goals. They did not find themselves at a greater deficit, and they kept on pushing and pushing and pushing to get back into the game. And eventually they found a breakthrough to make it 3-2. And that's a credit to San Jose, because they are in every game. They are giving themselves a chance in every single game. And this is only the third one since that game that they won finally on October 28th to kind of kick off a new start to their season, where they didn't walk away with a point. And I actually do wonder if Mikhail Granlund doesn't have that concussion protocol, if the Sharks do end up earning a point out of last night's loss. But for San Jose, they gave themselves a chance. They did not let the game get out of hand. They kept themselves within striking distance. And Alan and I at the NBC studios were saying the Sharks are not playing well as I would have liked out of that game last night. But you know what? A 3-1 deficit is something doable. It's something that they can work with. It's something that they can give themselves a chance to get back into it. And sure enough, they got back into it. Suddenly a Jake Walman goal gets the Sharks within one, and you've got a chance. And I know that you walk out of this one and you might say, well, Ted, almost doesn't count for anything. And I agree, almost doesn't count for anything, and there are no moral victories. But I also look at the consistent growth from San Jose, showing that they are in or giving themselves a chance in every single game. That was not a factor previously. This is what San Jose is showing now in this season that they did not previously, and I think it's indicative of just where things are headed. But also, the Sharks made life difficult for themselves last night, didn't they? The one thing that I keep on seeing as an issue is that San Jose wants to work too quickly through the neutral zone, and this leads to turnovers of the puck, and then they get back going the other direction. They've got to defend too much. They get pinned in their own end. And I understand it. You want to work quickly. You want to get clean zone entry. You want to have space. And so you're moving quickly to make these things happen. But if your attempts to make this happen are leading to pucks going the opposite direction, then you need to rethink things. And I know that nobody wants to quote-unquote slow things down, but sometimes you need to be just a little bit more conservative, just a little bit more considerate of the situation and think, okay, what do I need to do right now? Is it more important for us to get entry, or is it more important for us to get perfect entry? And this is an example of, perfect being the enemy of good. I think San Jose has had games where they've played a little bit more of a conservative style and not given the puck over and allowed themselves to create a little bit more puck possession. And I know that if you do enter the zone with speed, oftentimes the defense is moving, which gives you more ability to cycle the puck and create extended ozone time. Like, I'm aware of all these things, but San Jose needs to be aware of where they are right now, and they have certain limitations that keep them from being able to get the most out of each possession. And, you know, you see guys try and skate through defenders. You see guys try and do too much with a pass, which leads to a turnover. You see guys just trying to make a sexy move at the blue line as they're trying to get in. That can't happen. You know, or a cross-ice pass through the neutral zone that's a high-risk play. You're giving it away. That can't happen. Or a stretch pass that would take, not a miracle, but a very good, you know, confluence of events for it to eventually meet its target. Those are the type of things that the Sharks have to pick their spots, especially against a team like Dallas. When you're playing some of the lower tier teams in the NHL, and I'm using that term relatively because I don't believe there's any, you know, even the bad teams are full of incredibly skilled players, which is what we have to consider because the Sharks are not exactly a good team. You are going to be putting yourself in a position to be punished. You do not want to be punished. You do not want to be shooting yourselves in the foot. You do not want to be your biggest enemy over the course of a game. And last night, the Sharks were, in addition to Dallas being a very good team, they were one of the enemies out there on the ice to themselves. They were not their worst enemy, but they gave the puck away. Their puck management was not as clean as it needed to be. And again, against a team like Dallas, that is going to hurt you. And so you would hope that San Jose, now going into St. Louis on the second night of a back-to-back, will take review of what happened in the game and say, okay, what did we do well? Didn't let the game get out of hand. Even though we were not having our best first period in particular, we kept ourselves in it. Even though we did not have the best, you know, second period ever, when Dallas poured it on, we only gave up two goals and still were within a shouting distance. You know, they weren't chasing the game necessarily on the road the same extent to where they've been with other games. And so I think those are things that they can look at as positives. And also just the fact that they did have that fight at the end, they get it down to 3-2, and, you know, Mikael Granlund has to leave the ice due to the concussion protocol, and that was disappointing, but still, you get it to 3-2, you give yourself a chance at the end. I think that's more of what you're hoping for. But then again, you look at what they did negatively. Took way too many penalties in the first period. The Henry Thrun situation where he flipped it high, and then, you know, that led to the delay of game, that's relatively, you know, whatever, but you also don't want to be taking two penalties in a period on the road, especially against a team like Dallas in the first period in particular, because that puts you at a deficit and it gives the feeling of that tilted ice downhill hockey for Dallas. So those were a lot of things that were going on. So what can San Jose take and rectify out of this game heading into the game with St. Louis today? They can say, okay, first and foremost, let's watch the penalties. Even though one of the three we got in the first period was fluky, still taking two penalties on the road against a team like Dallas is something that we want to avoid. So they clean that up. And then we look beyond that and think to ourselves, okay, what's the next step from there? It's not giving up the early goal, not getting out shot, not being outplayed in that first period, matching the intensity of your opposition. That's a harder task against a team like Dallas because we all know that Dallas is a very deep, talented team that is expected to be a contender at the end of this year. And so you know that you're up against it. St. Louis is not there. St. Louis is better than their record a year ago, so I think they are going to provide a unique challenge, but San Jose should also be aware that if they play a little bit better than they did last night in the first period and take that game to St. Louis, even though they're going to have to be very careful in the first 10 minutes with tired legs on the second night of a back-to-back, then they should be able to give themselves a chance. Again, if they do these things while making sure that they cut down on the turnovers, pay a little bit more attention to their puck management, and that they are ready for the team's pushback, whether that's going to be if they go up in the first period, whether that's if they are tied after the first period, tied after the second period, up after the first period, up after the second period, go up halfway through the third, know that the pushback is going to come from the opposition, especially when you are on the road. The pushback is going to come, and San Jose needs to be ready for it because it's the game has phases. And some points are going to be a little bit more open. Some points are going to be a little bit tighter. Some points are going to be more in favor of the other team. Some points are going to be more in favor of you. And San Jose at this point is very good at generating their own momentum and carrying their own momentum, but they're not always the best right now at killing the opposition's momentum. That is the pushback that they need in these situations to the pushback that's coming from a team like Dallas. And it seems relatively obvious to us on the outside, and I'm sure that the Sharks are aware of these things, on the inside. I don't think I'm breaking any news in any of these regards, but, you know, we identify it and we react to it as fans and media. They react to it as probably seeing how close they are and knowing that if they can rectify a few things, that they'll be able to get points out of more games. And I think that, you know, now they're probably thinking to themselves, okay, this was a difficult situation in which we had two games back to back. You know, it was a tough scheduling bit to go to Dallas, right? Because Dallas is a good team, and that's the second time they've gone to Dallas this year. Now they're probably thinking to themselves, okay, what are we going to be able to do against a team like St. Louis? What are we going to be able to do against a team that is not at the same level of Dallas? And I'm not trying to, you know, knock Dallas or anything, or excuse me, knock St. Louis to anything to that extent, but that's got to be part of the question that they're asking themselves. The St. Louis Blues team is not amazing right now. They are 3-6-1 in their last 10. They are 8-11-1 overall with 17 points. That's only 1 point more than San Jose. So this is a winnable game, or a game that I think you can get some points out of. And I think that if the San Jose Sharks are able to split a back-to-back, you know, road trip for two games, they should feel very, very good about that coming into a game against Buffalo on Saturday, in which they're honoring Joe Thornton and, you know, trying to get themselves a win on that night to send everybody home extra happy. You know, this is a good discussion to have, though, to say, okay, can they have that, you know, 500 road trip on a back-to-back? It's more realistic right now based on what we've seen at the start of the season. You know, it was a rough first nine games in which they went 0-7-2, but they still gave themselves chances in a lot of those games. But since that point, they have been a much better team. They've been getting points. They've been getting themselves a chance. And for San Jose, I will take that as they go into this game against St. Louis tonight, because I think it's a great opportunity for them. And being opportunistic is not just a on-the-ice thing. It's looking at a situation and thinking to themselves, okay, is St. Louis an amazing team for the time being? No, they are not. And so San Jose looks at rectifying mistakes, giving themselves a better chance to walk away with a point and or points and able to come home with a little bit of momentum. All right, let's get into a few Ruzy highlight calls. It was Dallas who struck first in the first period.
Dallas keeps it in. Here's a shot that's blocked by CeCe from the stick of Hardy. Hardy cross ice. Dumba throws it to the circle. Turnaround shot, score! So Dumba keeps it in, gets it to Jason Robertson, and the Southern California native, who's been a little cold lately, spins and fires that dangerous shot that gets by Blackwood. But it was the keep in that was the key, and Dallas is up 1-0.
But San Jose had an answer by way of a Mikhail Granlund shorthanded goal, just their second of the season.
43 seconds left on the power play. Can the Sharks clear it? Good job by Eklund. Flips it forward. It's going to be a break. Right up the middle for Granlund. Shorthanded shoots. He scores! Mikhail Granlund, an unbelievable effort. He had a man draped all over him from his own blue line all the way down the ice. But Granlund is able to ram it in. It's a shorthanded goal with 1:16 left in the period. And this game is tied 1-1.
The tenacity of a Mikhail Granlund on a play like that is tremendous and just so indicative of where he is in his career at this point. He is asked by San Jose to be the man out there on the ice. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are developing talents. William Eklund is still coming into his full NHL game. Same story with Fabian Zetterlund, but Mikhail Granlund is now a point a game throughout the first 21 games of this season. He had another great night. I just credit to Granny on getting it done time and time again. But now we go second period. We knew it was coming. Dallas like a freight train.
Back the other way. Could be a chance for Dallas. Ferraro knocks one aside, but Heiskanen keeps in. Now it's Dumba. He's checked a little bit there by Zetterlund, who ends up not only taking it away from him, but poking it away from the man Maverick Bork on the far side of the ice. Puck's back at center. Here's Roope Hintzon. Lead pass. Johnston. Score! Uh-oh! Johnston getting underneath Wallman on that play. The Sharks couldn't get the puck up the ice, and Roope Hintz just jumping out on the change, came in onside and fed Wyatt Johnston, and this kid is just deadly in front of the net. 56 seconds into the second period, and Dallas is up 2-1.
And that would not be their only goal of the second period.
Behind the goal line, Dallas has got their feet moving. Ben almost made a play there, but Goodrow blocked his pass. Behind the net, center, they score! Jamie Benn got it back from Stan Coven and recovered it behind the goal line. And Benn, because he hustled behind the net while the Sharks' defense didn't have their feet moving, got to the puck first, about 8 seconds before that, and that's why it's 3-1 Dallas.
But credit to San Jose, they did not let it get more out of hand. They kept themselves within striking distance, and finally, with the help of Jake Waldman, they do find a goal to bring themselves within one.
But here comes Granlin moving back in. He stops in the right corner, sends it back to the slot, score! Jake Waldman gets the pass from Granlin and makes it a 3-2 game. And for Mikael Granlin, that is career assist number 400 and a big goal by Waldman, his second of the year. The score now is Dallas 3, the Sharks 2.
And so ultimately, San Jose gave themselves a chance to get a point out of this game. They did not, but still, I will take the fact that game after game, they are giving themselves a chance. San Jose continued to push, but the empty net came back to bite them.
Empty net, though. Dallas comes up. Johnston, the center, throws to the left. It's an empty net for Hintze. Score. After all of that, the Sharks came so close to tying it up, but the puck just couldn't go in. And Roope Hintze back the other way, puts it into the empty cage. And now we've got another injured Sharks player on the ice. And that's Jake Waldman over here. He's getting up awfully slowly. And now making his way under his own power as Mackenzie Blackwood came over to check him out. But Roope Hintze gets his second point of the night. This is a goal into the empty net, making it 4-2 Dallas at 18:33 of the third period.
And bite them it did, not just once, but twice.
Toss up the left wing side. Now it's put to the middle. There was Cunnan driving the center lane. Couldn't get it. Neither can Celebrini. And it'll be Oscar Beck who clears it, but not to the empty net. He's going to get a second chance, though. Checked away. Taken back. Here comes Dallas. And they score. That's Yevgeny Dodonov into the empty net to make it 5-2.
Now, anybody who looks at that final 5-2 might think that the Stars got a handy win against the Sharks, but San Jose made life difficult for Dallas, and yes, Dallas controlled the game. They never trailed. They were up 1-0, then it was tied 1-1. They were up 2-1 and 3-1. Sharks made it 3-2, in which point we saw Dallas add on two empty netters. So, yeah, the final score, not indicative of the talented competition that we saw, but still, San Jose needs to rectify those mistakes in short order when they take on St. Louis later today. All right, let's get into some of this post-game reaction with Jake Waldman talking about the issues that plagued them throughout the game.
For the most part, I'd like to say it's positive. For the most part, again, we're doing the right things, but it's just those little parts in the game. We got to hold each other accountable, and if you want to be a good team and compete with these other good teams, we got to hold each other accountable and make the right plays at the right times in those tight games.
To that end, he was asked specifically what the Sharks need to clean up.
Yeah, it's a little things. We got a bunch of guys in here that are leaders, and we got to lead by example. I think it starts with me. Also, can't be making those turnovers. You know, we know better than that, and kind of get ourselves in the trouble. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Kind of brought all those goals against on us. So, we just got to be better. We got to lead by example and play the right way. And we know when we play the right way, we can be a really good hockey team.
I think Waldman there is showing exactly what a leader needs to do on the San Jose Sharks. A, he continues to score points himself. B, he continues to acknowledge the realities of the problems they're having as a team. And while doing so, he says that if they're able to fix those, that they can be a very good team in this league. And I think that, you know, he's playing it right. It's like the classic compliment sandwich. Talks about, you know, two good things, one negative thing, but overall is packaging it as something that is a positive for this team in an area that they can grow. And so, you know, for Waldman, who was brought in and is performing at a very high level in his short time with San Jose, I think the guys should listen, especially the younger guys, when he does speak. He also spoke to the high-level play that he saw from Mikael Granlin, considering this is his first year playing alongside him as opposed to against him.
Yeah, you guys see it. It's the eye test. He leads us out there on the ice for sure. And, when he's going, I feel like we're all going. He's a big motor for us and leads by example. And I think we can all take a page out of his book. I'll kind of learn from him, and he's been there in those tough games, and he's leading by example, and we all kind of got to do that.
And I think that's the mentality that you want across the board. You want everybody to be leading by example. You want Jake Waldman. You want Macklin Celebrini. You want William Eklund. You want Granny. You want everyone to play their best game, because if everyone plays their best game, it encourages everyone else to play their best game. And leading by example, I know, is somewhat of a, you know, vague term at times. We don't always define it because, yes, it'd be so easy to say that it's just, well, he's scoring, he's leading by example, he's giving the example that they should register points. Well, like, yeah, thank you, you know, professor, we figured that out. But I think it's more to the idea of not making the mistakes and rectifying the mistakes if you do make them, and taking accountability for your actions out there on the ice, propping up your teammates, showing the fight and the drive and the grind that it takes in these difficult situations. That is leading by example. Obviously, scoring, assisting, that's a good example that's very, very clear to everyone, but it goes so much further than that. And Jake Waldman looks at Mikael Granlund, another veteran on the team, and says, yeah, if that's how he's doing it, that's the level that I've got to play at. I've got to make sure my game doesn't slip at all. In terms of defending against a team as talented as Dallas, this is what Waldman had to offer.
Yeah, they're a big, strong team. They've been a playoff team for, I don't know how many of the last years, for a reason. And I mean, they play the right way. And those are the types of teams that we kind of, look up to. We want to compete with those teams, and I think we're on our way. We do a lot of good things throughout the 60 minutes of the game. We just got to be consistent with it. We're a young group. We got to lead the team and kind of grow that way. We're growing in a positive way.
Andy riffed on how they can have greater success against a team like Dallas.
Yeah, it's quick decisions, being smart with the puck, little things. Got to kind of learn how to win, and especially going to that second period, you can't have those lapses. And like I said, shot ourselves in the foot a little bit, but we'll learn. I think we did really well for the most part, and most of these games are doing well for the most part. So yeah, just the little things, just dialing it in and having a complete game.
Head coach Ryan Warsofsky talked about San Jose's lack of pushback in the second period. He liked the accountability after the game, but he says he needs it when they're on the ice.
Yeah, but I need to see accountability in the game. You know, after the game, that's a mute point for me. We need to do it during the game with our whole group. And we have to learn and understand how important second periods are, the long change, all the details go with it that I just spoke about.
Andy talked about San Jose's power play and how it needs to be just that much better, especially when you compare it to what you're seeing with the Stars.
Couple looks, but it's just not where it needs to be. It's not a threat, right? You see Dallas's power play, it's a threat. They have obviously some really good players that can shoot, but we got to become more of a threat with our power plays. We got to keep working on it and get better at it. Obviously, the practice time is limited, but it's up to myself and Brian to break this thing down and get this thing going so it's a weapon for us. Especially we got 3-2 game, we get a power play. It should be a crucial moment for our team to score a goal and at least get some momentum. And we don't have that attack mentality right now.
And in my opinion, that's all part of what San Jose is figuring out right now, that quote-unquote attack mentality. While it is not there currently, it is something that they can add into their game. And we've seen flashes of it, but it's obviously a learning process for San Jose that is still ongoing. I would love to see them become more attack-minded, be more aggressive on the power play, because just like the rest of you, I too am yelling shoot at the screen and in person sometimes. So, you know, this is where San Jose is right now. They have their strengths. They have their flaws. Oftentimes those flaws are enough to negate those strengths, but they're giving themselves a chance in games. More often than not, as of late, they've been able to get points. And against a really good team like Dallas, they were able to give themselves a shot, and you're 3-2 late. I think it's not the most you can ask for, but I'm not walking away thinking to myself, oh my God, all is lost with San Jose. No, I had that thought a couple times last year, but I didn't have it out of this game. I just thought to myself, all right, that for a second time this year, we saw there is a difference between Dallas and San Jose, a team viewed as a contender, a team that, in my opinion, is a contender, and a team that San Jose is still taking steps to be more like. Now, we get a back-to-back, potentially the chance to see Yaroslav Askarov, a team that is not on the same level of Dallas, a team that record-wise and point production-wise is more like San Jose. And for San Jose, they've got a great opportunity to split a two-game road trip on a back-to-back. Yes, managing the first 10 minutes are going to be difficult. Yes, we might have a rookie goalie in for San Jose. There are going to be inherent challenges. As talented as Yaroslav Askarov is, he still doesn't have much NHL experience, And so if he is in there, it'll be exciting, but San Jose's got to make sure they play their best hockey in front of him to give him his best chance. All the talent in the world does not mean you will immediately be successful in the NHL. However, it seems like Yaroslav Askarov, based on talent alone, sure does have a good chance. But he needs that help in front of him. All right, we are just about out of time. We're back at it today. I'll be back with you for the buildup, and I'll be with you on NBC again as the San Jose Sharks visit the Blues. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.